Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you and we praise you for this awesome day. Thank you that it's not raining. God, I just ask you right now to be with this message. And may the heart of Mission Fest, may the heart of the Reach team, may the heart that is in you, Father, be seen today. And God, I just pray that you would use these words, but mostly your spirit and your word, which will never come back void. And in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. The name of the message today is not the prodigal son. We're actually going to change it right from the start, Micah. We're going to call it the prodigal father and his two sons. The prodigal father and his two sons, Luke 15. But I do want to say thank you to Micah. And I don't know, maybe if you're my age, when he goes, when I was young, thank you. I'm like, when you were young, no. Yeah, like I know you're feeling older, but let me tell you this. I just want to say thank you. I am excited of the direction of this church. I'm excited about the direction of the Reach department and what you're doing with it. Micah's dad and I worked together at Solid Rock Ministries in the beginning of this in the 80s. And his dad, Dave, was in my wedding and I was in his wedding. And I am so proud of you. And he just got married to Maddie. And you guys, just love you guys, what you're doing. Would you give him a round of applause and just... what's going? Excited. The future. We can't go back. We need to go forward. And Micah is leading Reach and this church as part of the leadership team forward and where we're going. I do want to say it is such an honor to actually be asked to speak for Mission Fest and to have our missionaries from around the world here today. Some of them can't be. And please, don't take this for granted. Pray for them. Like, I don't know if you know the uprising in Haiti right now and what's going on in Haiti, but our missionary there, Pastor Lavov, could not be with us because of the unrest, what's going on. He actually was robbed. He had his passport stolen. He's actually supposed to be coming here for some treatments for his cancer as well. Just even right now, would you just say a prayer for Pastor Lavov and for Haiti and what's going on? You are a part of what's going on through Reach. It's a part of our church, Christ Rock, reaching forward to go forward. So make sure that you continue to do that. Jesus, be with them. Be with Haiti right now. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I am humbled to be sent out from this church as an evangelist. Like Micah said, we were just in Little Chute Thursday. We were there actually. AJ, our animated illusionist, did the elementary school in St. John's on Monday for the little kids. And then Thursday night, we wrapped up with a rally. There's a lot going on. We still had over 200 kids and adults come out. And a lot of young kids really actually, it was wild. My nephew Ben's son, Micaiah, was actually there and came with his friends. I mean, okay, I've been doing this a long time. But we saw out of those 200, over 100 people raise their hands and indicate they wanted to follow Jesus. So that's that celebration. But to other missionaries, I get to do some things. A lot of you get to as well. When you go on a trip, look at that insert and sign up. This summer, my wife and I, Carol and I, got to have the privilege. We got to go and be with Willie and Haley Nichols up in Alaska and actually team up with them. And my daughter Amber and her husband Evan and their kids were up there for the whole summer as well. We got to partner with them. I think they got some pictures here of them. They can just slide through them. It's just so amazing what's going on up there. It's just such a blessing to see what God's doing up in Alaska. But then at the end of July, myself and four other people from Christ Rock, Ron Sweet, Kathy Baker, Amanda Luer, and Katie Jansen, along with two other ministries, we got to join with Dick and Ruth Robinson down in Peru. Dick had asked me, he saw Life Fest up here, and he said, Bob, well, we're still in Alaska. That's how they travel in Alaska. There's Dick and Ruth, and we got to go down and be with us. We brought people down there with us, and you see what they're doing down there. But then their ministry is upriver to an unreached people group. But Dick said, Bob, you gotta bring Life Fest down there, his home church in their town. We gotta have something like this down here. So we went down and partnered with, thank you so much, Dick, and what happened. But through all the people that came down, this is what they, we got the report back, and they said we were able to witness 3,314 people indicate that they received Jesus Christ. 3,314. And just ask them about it. And so if this morning, if just one person comes back, there's a party in heaven with one sinner. Listen to this, right? Luke 15:7 says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need to repent, right? Can you imagine if that's for one? 3,314? Can you imagine the party that's going on? That's the aim for the mission fest this week. That's the aim from the Reach team. What they wanted you to know this week is this, how God loves and pursues the lost. How God loves and pursues the lost and how he celebrates those who are found. So if we just clap for that, can you imagine? No. I said we just did, but you can again. Come on, one more time. Because can we bring anybody to Christ ourselves? Yes. No, we can't. It's got to be the Holy Spirit, right? So when we applaud, who gets the glory? It's God. It's all him. But that's what we want you to know. We want you to know his heart. That's why, listen close, that's why the title of the message, I want to mess with you today, that's why the title of the message is called The Prodigal Father. The Prodigal Father and His Two Sons. I know that typically this story in Luke chapter 15 is called the prodigal son, and the story is usually told about the younger brother and his wild living. The word prodigal then, because of that, has had this negative connotation, this negative image. My prayer today, please listen, my prayer is that we change that, because if we can change that today, you're going to see so much more in this text. This text will come alive with you to you in a new way. So will you say it with me? The prodigal father. One more time. And here's why. Here's what the word prodigal means, all right? And if you take notes, write these down. I want you to get this. The word prodigal means reckless, excessive, extravagant. You're like, Bob, you're not convincing me. Bob, those do have negative connotations. Hold on, you gotta see the context of the verse. So let's go to the verse. Let's go to that chapter, Luke 15. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after, the younger son got together all that he had and set off for the distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the land, in the country. And he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. Remember, he was a Jewish person who couldn't even eat pig, right? Sorry. I couldn't be Jewish to 100%, okay? Got to have my pork, okay? But he said he went to feed the pigs. He longed to be filled his stomach with just the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. He remembered the father's heart. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. Then the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be even called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate. Let's party. For this son of mine was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. They began to celebrate. Do you see the picture? Do you see him, his love just being extravagant? The first Christian album I've ever got was Dion. Dion DiMucci, remember him? Dion. The second one, I don't know why I told you about my first, because I was supposed to tell you about my second. But the second one, my brother Bill bought me, and it was Benny Hester. And it was a song, God Ran. I'd like to, if I could, just read you the words first. Because picture who is running. Almighty God, the great I am, the immovable rock, the omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord, the victorious warrior, the commanding King of Kings, the mighty conqueror. And the only time I ever saw him run is when he ran to me. And he took me in his arms. He held my head to his chest and said, my son's come home again. He lifted my face. It means he wiped away the shame. He wiped the tears from my eyes. And with forgiveness in his voice, he said, son, do you know I still love you? He caught me by surprise when God ran. Can we play this song? And may you see him running to you. You see it? I hope you can even experience it and feel it for you. But you got to understand how uncharacteristic this was for their view of God in that day. He's the Almighty God. Go back to the teaching last week by Pastor Ben. Pastor Ben taught last week when Jesus told us to call God Father, Daddy, Dada, Papa, Abba. That's the only time we see God run. That's reckless. The reckless love of God. It's excessive. It's extravagant. It looks absurd. The only way I can explain it is somebody bought me a shirt that says, I put ketchup on my ketchup. Do you know anybody like that? That's like, would you like a hamburger with your ketchup? Because they have so much. Did you ever see somebody like, you think they're done with their fries? There's two fries left. We actually have two fries right here. Do you ever see somebody that has two fries and they put one here and one here and then they take the ketchup? I'm sorry, this is fun. That's a little excessive. That's the, you don't know how bad I want to eat this right now. That is what it's like. The excessive, extravagant love of God. You know what this proves to me? God's not Dutch. I'm kind of bummed. I'm sorry. How many of you, like, you're my age, when you had chips and dip, remember chips and dip before all the flavored ones? You dipped them. But you know what my mom made me do? You take one chip and you put it in straight, right? And you pick it up until she wasn't looking, right? And you dip it. You scoop. I love the new scoop chips. That's what we're talking about, right? Do you know how they invented copper wire? They put a penny between two Dutch guys. Come on, I'm sorry. You know why us Dutch people have such big noses? Air is free. Just one more, and you will see how this... Well, it might be my last time speaking, but thanks for having me. But when you tell somebody you want to go out, you ask them on a date, we'll go Dutch. You know what that means? You each pay. You know what's sad? 64% of Americans still believe you can earn your way to heaven. We think it's Dutch. God will just do enough and then you got to do the rest. We can't do anything. Salvation is 100% God. All we can do is believe. Believe that that's what he's like. Because I know we have some bad pictures of the Father, bad pictures of the authority, bad pictures of corruption. And God says, believe me today. You look at it, it's lacking restraint in spending money or resources. He came out and did what? He hugged. He kissed him, a ring, a robe, a sandal, a fattened calf. He was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. Some of you think this. Shouldn't the Father have been more careful? Shouldn't he have made sure that he was really repentant first? He did lose half of the estate. Shouldn't he at least have been in celebrate recovery for a while? Just to make sure that he was serious. What if he's just looking for another free handout? The prodigal father, reckless, excessive, and extravagant in love, mercy, and compassion. It's who he is. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. But he gave his life away. If you're in the far country today, and you're like that younger brother, please see the heart of God. Some of you even sitting in church this morning are in the far country and think, he can't forgive me. I knew better. I went too far. I'm lower than low. Please hear him. Come home. Come home to his heart. He's waiting. He's waiting for you. But I got to say something to maybe if you grew up in the church and maybe you are in high school or junior high or college and don't hear me saying it doesn't matter. Like you might be saying, well then why don't I go out and have a good time in the world? Why don't I go and have a fun time in far country? God will accept me back anyways. Matter of fact, it'll even be a better testimony. If you could only see the love and the joy and the life that Jesus has for you, my friend. It's not better. It's not better. Don't wait. And if you really love God, you don't want to break his heart. You want to glorify him. That's our purpose of living, to love him. It's so much better than anything the world has. Plus all the pain that you can cause him and yourself and others. Come back to the heart of God. But so many of you, if you are in a far country, you think that the only alternative then is to be like the older brother, right? The faithful, obedient brother. That's why we must call this the prodigal father and his two sons. Say prodigal father and his two sons. Here's why. The older brother looked good on the outside, but on the inside, as we say in character development, under the waterline, He was far from the Father as well. He was far from the Father as well. Remind me of this little four-year-old girl. A friend of mine owned a Christian bookstore, and this little four-year-old came in one day and said, "I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven." And the true story, bookstore owner got down and he said, "That's awesome. You're going to heaven because God loves you and Jesus died for you." And she goes, "No, that's not why I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because I said the prayer. And my little brother, he's not going to heaven. He's not going to heaven because he didn't say the prayer." I got so mad. Have we reduced salvation to the sinner's prayer? And something we can earn by doing it the right way? That is the spirit of the older brother. Let's back up and give you the setting, okay? Go back, and Mike introduced us already. Luke 15, 1 and 2 says this. "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus." Oh, no. Okay. The tax collectors and sinners were coming to hear who? "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" What I did is I went to all the different translations and I picked out the words, okay? So listen to the setting. Who was coming to hear Jesus? Here it is. Notorious sinners. Here's different words they use. Notorious sinners, tax collectors, publicans, outcast. You got that? And they're doing what? Coming to hear Jesus. But the response, listen, here's the different words, the different translations. Grumbling, complaining, murmuring, muttered. Church people, whoops. I'm sorry, doesn't that sound like a lot what we hear? By who? Who do we hear it from? Here's the different description, different translations. From the Pharisees, the teachers, the scribes, the religious leaders. It's from the older brother. What was the problem? Jesus is associating with sinners. He receives sinners. He hangs around with them. He welcomes them. He even eats with them. Oh no. That's the backdrop. That's what's going on. So now let's pick up the story in Luke 15. "So meanwhile, the older son was in the field." That kind of convicts me because that means he's working for the Father. In the field is many times talking about mission, about evangelism. "But when he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. He said, 'Your brother has come home.' He replied, 'And your father has killed a fattened calf because he's home safe and sound.' The older brother," listen, "became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out." See the father's heart here, you gotta see it. "The father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, and I never disobeyed one of your orders. Yet you never gave me a younger calf so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' Please hear the heart, 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad. We had a party because this brother of yours was dead. He's alive again. He was lost, but now he's found.' The younger son was away from the father in the far country." But please hear the point of the prodigal father and the two sons. "But the older son was away from the father as well in his duty." Because instead of relationship with the father, the older brother's life, He found life in rules, regulations, religion, and routine. Being the good son. If you look at the two sons, if we can compare them, the older brother and then the younger brother. The older brother, the style of self-centered living, because they're both self. Does that make sense? Instead of God-centered, they were both self-centered. They were different. The older brother was self-righteous. The younger brother was self-indulgent. Relationship with the father, the older brother, works-based. Works-based, what I do. The younger brother, yeah, he rejected by his disobedience. But I would say that the older brother rejected him by his obedience. I know that's hard to swallow. But do you know what the issue always is? Pride. Pride. And I saw this illustration once that pride stands for this. People relying in doing enough. Can you do enough to earn your own salvation? Yes or no?
No.
No. So when it's pride is something, it's an oxymoron. You can't be a proud Christian. That's like jumbo shrimp. To be a Christian, you have to say, I can't. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. How is that something we can be proud about? Humility is what's lacking in the church today. We always want to compare and be the best. We have to see that that is man-centered Christianity. And let me make it clear. Man-centered Christianity, people-centered Christianity is no Christianity at all. For Isaiah 64, 6 says, our self-righteousness, our best is as filthy rags. He was hard-hearted, angry, and he wouldn't come in. You know why? He wanted approval and affirmation for his work, his commitment, his effort. He didn't want the Father's affection. He didn't want the Father's acceptance based on the Father's grace and his goodness and mercy. I can do it myself. Galatians 2:21 says this, if righteousness comes by the works of the law, then Christ died for nothing. I'm going to give you a list, and this comes from the book Prodigal God in Part by Timothy Keller, one of the best books on this subject that changed my thinking on this. Characteristics of the older brother's heart. Or, these aren't funny, but Jeff Foxworthy would say, you know you're an older brother when? Listen, when you're condescending and condemning, when you're anxious and insecure, when you're judgmental and angry. And that anger, you have an undercurrent of anger towards life circumstances because you did what you're supposed to do and you think that life should go a certain way. So many times when the older brother has a tragedy, they walk away from God because they said, I did what you told me to. Why didn't you come through? And somehow it's based on what we think we did. An older brother holds grudges and looks down at people. They look down on other lifestyles. There's little joy in their prayer life. And they're overly insecure, which makes them overly sensitive to criticism. You don't have to raise your hand, but anybody else feeling conviction? God, how can I be the younger brother and the older brother? But I feel at times I have been. But can I say something loud and clear? He went out and he pleaded with the older brother. Would you hear God pleading with you to come in to celebrate to his heart? There's grace enough for the older brother as well. Amen? There's grace enough for the older brother as well. He pleaded with him, come in. Grace stands for what? God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. You want to see other people reached? You really want to see this church touch nations and people groups around the world? It's not another strategy. It's not another program. Spend time with the Father. Get to know his heart. I was just at an evangelism conference, and they actually said, stop trying to evangelize people. I'm like, what? They said, if you really want to evangelize, stop trying and marinate yourself in Jesus. Marinate yourself in Jesus. Marinate yourself in Jesus, amen? That's what we got to do. Because when we do that, we'll smell like, taste like, look like, and feel like Jesus. Jesus said, if I was lifted up, I'll draw all people to myself. But God wants you to know his heart. I think if we really knew his heart and we were hot for God, people would want what we have. But I think the church at large, we become lukewarm, myself included. Let's go to another scripture to bring that to a close. Revelation 3:15 says this, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. I'm like, what? Every pastor I know has preached from this. Every youth pastor I know has given a message about this. But guess how many times it talks about being hot and cold in Scripture? Just once. So whatever this is, that's what it really is talking about. But every message that I've heard about this, it goes back to the younger son. Even though we just spent this whole message, and I'm going over my time, I spent the whole message trying to show you that the older brother is just as far away from the younger brother. Every time this verse is preached, they talk about the younger brother. They talk about the compromiser. No, they talk about the person who has a glass of wine or watches an edgy movie or still struggles with smoking or swears once in a while. No, please hear me. I'm not okay in any of that. But we don't get to write our convictions on what Scripture says. Luther said Scripture must interpret Scripture. Does that make sense? You can't put, well, this is my pet sin, so I'm going to put that in. That's what lukewarm is. No, whatever Scripture says. In the next verse, Revelation 3:17, it says this. In the New American Standard, it says, because you say. In the NIV that we're going to look at, it says this. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. In the NAS, it says, because you say I am rich and wealthy and have need of nothing, but you do not realize it, that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You know what a lukewarm Christian is? It's not a struggling compromiser. According to the Bible, a lukewarm Christian is the Pharisee, the scribe, the churchgoer, the older brother who doesn't think they have a need. That doesn't preach as fun, because that preaches like this instead of like those sinners out there. You want to reach further? Get to know the heart of God. Let me end with this story. When there was a famous evangelist that fell into sin, and if I named him, the older people here would remember who I'm talking about. And a friend of mine, Rich Wilkerson, told this story that I think says it so well. He said, when my son was 5 years old, he loved to build things. And he was building a little house of popsicle sticks. Can you picture it? You get the popsicle sticks and they glue them together. And so this little the best he could do, it was leaning and had the little roof on it and one window actually. And he came and said, Daddy, Daddy, look what I have for you. And the dad, come on, dads, moms, you've been there, right? You're like, oh, that's awesome. Thank you. Come here. Come and sit on my lap. Let's play together. Let's play catch. Come here. No, Daddy, I gotta go make you some more houses. And he ran away. And all the father wanted to do was to spend some time with him. The best ministry on the earth without the presence of God is a waste of time. This convicts me because I want to go and reach the lost so bad that sometimes I go and run and I forget to spend time with the Father. Right now I'm asking you, what do you need to leave go of to come and spend time with the Father? Maybe you're in the far country and you still think that something artificial can fill it. Or maybe you're in ministry, or you use even your job as ministry, and you're always going out planning more. And you're the older brother who's far away, and you're lost in your habits and duty, and trying to be more busy for God. Would you come to the Father's heart today? The best way to reach more, the best way to reach further, the best way to reach this world is by coming home to the heart of God. Would you maybe just pray with me for a minute? Would you bow your heads? What is God pointing out in your heart that has caused you to be far away from him? Whether it's in the far country of wild living, whether it's in dutiful obedience, but not spending time with the Father. An introvert and an extrovert might experience different, but I'm asking all of us to change our mind. That duty is not enough. The far country doesn't satisfy. Experience, come home to the Father. Father, I pray right now that we would change our minds about who you are and would experience anything that stops us from experiencing who you are as the Father that pursues, recklessly pursues the lost and then rejoices and celebrates when we're found. God, I know most of us are saved, but find us again. And may we find your heart. And for Mission Fest, just as all the missionaries have come here, may all of us come to the Father's heart so that we can bring him to the world, near and far. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.